Let's say you're about to go into battle, and frankly, you're a little terrified. How would a little encouragement by way of a scripture verse on one of these dog tags be worth to you? Hi, I'm Stuart Shepherd, and this is First Liberty Live. First, thank you for liking and sharing our videos. You are the way that we get to meet new people, so I appreciate the fact that you see these conversations as valuable enough that you share them with your family and friends. If you're interested in them, many of them are going to be too, and we appreciate your doing that for us. First Liberty just filed suit on behalf of a small business called Shields of Strength. This case has been a long time in the making. You've heard us talk about it over time. And we tried to find a solution that did not involve going to court, but that just wasn't going to happen. So here we are. Kenny Vaughn founded the company, and he is here with us today. He founded it along with his wife, Tammy. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I am good. This whole thing started not with an idea for some big business, but it started when your future wife wrote an inspiring message on a water ski handle. Give us a little bit of that backstory.
Yes, yeah, so I spent most of my life, I was chasing the national championship, and I had a lot of injuries. I racked up a few months in the hospital, but they always came at the worst possible time, just meaning like the time that which all my training, everything I had done for years, had a chance to pay off, and then all the wheels would come off. So eventually I developed, I would say, just a fear of failing. I was never that afraid of injury. I mean, nobody wants to get hurt, but I just believed that I could recover from that.
And to help people understand your story here, I was thrilled when I got on water skis, was able to stand upright and glide across the lake. But that wasn't enough for you. You decided, I need to put a ramp in the middle of the lake and jump off of the ramp. And that wasn't enough for you. You decided, I need a ramp in the middle of the lake, and I want to jump farther than anybody else in America on water skis. That's what we're talking about that you were up to.
Yeah, so well, my dad was a show skier. He skied Cypress Gardens and all over the country doing show skiing. And he jumped boats, he jumped skis, he did all that good stuff. So he taught me how to ski when I was a kid. I was probably 13. And then they got us into jumping and competing. And then I had a coach that had won a medal at a national championship. And yeah, I kind of developed, I just acquired a dream to win a national championship.
Yeah,
and set out to get that done. But we're going about 70 miles an hour when we hit the ramp. On a good jump, we'll rise about three stories, fly about three quarters of the length of a football field. You get three jumps in a competition, longest jump wins if you ski off. So that's the sport. But yeah, unfortunately, sometimes you land in the hospital too.
And you had been trying that for 15 years as part of the story, and then it finally came down to that particular competition. And Tammy wrote something on your ski handle. What did she write?
Yeah, so, I mean, I used to write on my equipment little things that, for example, the U.S. team coach taught me, or one or two things that would make the biggest difference for me. And when she figured out I was afraid, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I usually don't tell people when I'm afraid. They got to figure it out. I pretend like I'm strong, or I used to. I don't anymore. But she figured it out, and so she wrote on one side of my equipment, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And on the other side, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And at that time, I'd never heard either scripture. So it was two pieces of God's word, but in my hands all day long, every day, as I trained, as I competed, everywhere I went. And so finally, they got off of there, and they got in here, and then they got in here. And just meaning that I knew them, then I believed them. And eventually I had to make a decision that I would keep following my fear, or I would choose to act on God's word, regardless of how I felt. And when I did that, fear lost its grip in my life.
Wow.
And so what I learned was that fighting fear is a trap. And pretending like you're not afraid is a trap. But the way out is through God's word. And one piece of God's word changed my life forever. So that's why we make Shields of Strength, just praying they'll be for someone else what that equipment was for me.
So after you won the national championship, you put a scripture verse on what essentially was a dog tag, put it around your neck. Tell me what happened to that very first one.
The first one I gave away, it may have been to my brother or a good buddy of mine. I still don't remember which one for sure.
Yeah.
But I was wearing it as my personal reminder for life. being a dad, being a husband, being in business, all the fears of life brought my way. I wanted a daily reminder, so it was just for me. But one day I realized that my brother was dealing with something, and it just crossed my mind, you know, that's what he needed. And so I took it off, gave it to him, and went and made me another one.
Yeah, and that led to another one and another one and another one, and suddenly you had a business going that you never intended to start, really.
Yeah, really. I always say if it would have been a plan, it would have been a good one, but it really wasn't. And that's what makes it so special for us, I think. It's the most humbling experience of my life. But, yeah, as I gave them away, and then months later, I saw people still wearing them. And, you know, I'll never forget this one lady that really, I would say, helped me realize the difference she was making was she was the last person, like she was in a beautiful dress. She was dressed to go out somewhere. We bumped into her, and she had waited a table for us months before, and I left it for her. But you're thinking you're leaving a lady a dog tag, you know, what's she going to do with it? But dressed nice and everything else, I saw the ball chain around her neck going into her dress, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks, you know. God's word's making a difference in her life. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know what she's going through, but it's making a difference. The same reason I didn't want to let it go either. And so yeah, then we started figuring out it wasn't cheap to make them one at a time. How could we make more? Really just with the mission of giving them away. It was just such a blessing to be able to see that what God did in you and what he does in you, you want to share with other people. And so seeing it, having the opportunity to share it, that's how it got started.
So how did this turn into something that had a connection with the military? That's the key part of this story going forward.
So there was a sergeant major. Her name was Jackie Clay, and she was with the 86th Signal Battalion. This is the first one I remember. And she sent me a handwritten letter. I still have it on this. It was on a green sheet of paper. Yeah. And they were about to deploy to Afghanistan after September 11th. And they were going to be some of the first to go in there. And one of the dog tags had found its way into this gift shop in Sierra Vista, Arizona, near their base. She had gotten one of them, and one of the other soldiers saw them. And she was just saying, hey, there's 600 in our battalion. Is there any way we could get them each the dog tag? And we had just found a way to make them in bigger quantities, and I had made a bunch of them. And it was going to take me a long time to give away a few thousand of them. And so when the opportunity came, we were like, heck yeah, man, we would love to send them to you. So we gave them those 600, and they took them to Afghanistan. And the more soldiers that saw them from other units and battalions, the more requests we got until it started just running wild.
Yeah, people that work in the business world will tell you giving them away like that is a lousy business plan. But it sounds like it's God's business plan that you're working on.
Yeah, and I think of that often. We've been doing it for 20 years. We still struggle sometimes. But giving is the best thing you can do for yourself. You can't do it for yourself, because if you do, it's no longer love. It's love that makes all the difference in the world. It's the most powerful force in the world. The most beautiful thing about being able to give what we give is to know that even if it sunk our ship, even if it cost us everything, it changed a life. Because God's word changes lives. So, yeah, in some ways it is a lousy business model, but we're still going.
Well, I'm glad you're there. Glad you're doing what you're doing. And in a few minutes, I'm going to sit here and chat with Mike Berry and get the legal side of this. But there's something I wanted to ask you about that deals with the case that we just filed, and that's this. The weirdest part of this whole thing is you've been forced into a position of filing suit against the very entities that you've been providing hope, encouragement, inspiration, a way to manage fear, because you identify with that in your own personal life and you understand at that level what many people in the military are going through. How weird is it to end up filing suit against those that you're actually trying to help?
I'm torn. So in some ways it breaks my heart. In other ways, it's the greatest honor of my life, because I'm not fighting our military, I'm fighting for them. And who gets the chance to do that? And I know the difference God's word makes in their lives. I got thousands of letters and testimonies. And I mean, we've done this for 20 years, literally a couple million of them. One of the most ironic things was when I saw the complaint, and I don't know, I really like Austin, because his units requested more shields of strength any other, and it was so encouraging at the time. I mean, I'm 10, 15,000 at a time to 3rd Infantry Division. When he went to 10th Mountain, 5,000 at a time.
Wow.
And so I never met him personally, but he was like he was my buddy. And so seeing his name in the complaint, it's a little surreal, but I'm praying that I know he knows. And the only reason I knew his name is because everyone that called or emailed would mention him. And so, you know, from their units when they were requesting him. Yeah. So I'm praying that maybe he'll make a decision to do the right thing. But yeah, we're not fighting the military. We're fighting for them. And it's a great honor, and we have no intention of stopping.
From where you sit, what would be the best possible outcome?
Not only that, this is a problem that it's not just a problem we're facing in our military, it's a problem we're facing in our nation. And so the problem is this, is that there's two traps of fear and selfishness, and that's the root of all of this. They are pride and passivity. So if I'm afraid, they're both selfish. If I'm afraid, I either decide I don't care anymore about you, I'm just gonna look out for me, or I'm prideful and I get puffed up, which is the same thing. And so the greatest outcome to me would be that the leadership of our military, and not just our military, but our government, would humble themselves. And that through that humility, they would do what's best for others without regard for themselves. It's the best thing they can do for themselves. They just can't do it for themselves, or else it's selfish, okay? But so the greatest outcome for me would be obviously that we get to continue to put scripture on dog tags for our military when they ask us. And that we wouldn't have to tell these guys no anymore. The worst part about this whole situation is chaplains and commanders calling saying, hey, could we get this scripture on this dog tag, with this unit logo, and having to tell them no. So we hope that that'll be resolved, but bigger than that, I hope that it'll stir up the core of our leadership and that they will quit doing whatever it is to make sure they keep their last promotion or get their next promotion or whatever it is that they're trying to protect. Yeah. And they'll do what they know that they know is best for the troops that they lead.
Very good. Kenny, I always enjoy talking to you. It's always an inspiration. Anything else you'd like to share before I let you go?
Just pray for us, you know. And I guess I would just like to tell our nation that love is our way out. Fear is the only thing that can tear this thing down. It's trying, but love is the only way out, and love is selfless. Fear loves itself. Love is selfless. And love does what's best for others without regard for itself.
Very good. Kenny Vaughn, great chatting with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
By the way, every time we talk about this case, we get a lot of people asking where you can get one of these dog tags. An important note, First Liberty does not sell them. If you call here, you'll just get to talk to Jill, our receptionist, who will tell you what I'm about to tell you right now, which is Kenny's website is shieldsofstrength.com, shieldsofstrength.com, and you can find more information there. I've got Mike Berry here. He is general counsel here at First Liberty Institute, and he's been working with Kenny since the very beginning of this, when we first started talking about the case and then trying to get a resolution and then finally going to court over this. So just the basic legal questions to start. Who did we sue?
We sued the Department of Defense and specifically the trademark and licensing offices for some of the branches of the military.
And that's part of that. That's really the key to this whole thing is because Kenny was making these for people who serve in the military, they really wanted to see if they're in the Air Force on the dog tag, or sometimes their unit group or that sort of thing, right? That's what really this comes down to. And Kenny got permission to use those, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. In fact, the military invited Kenny to make these and provide these. Kenny got hundreds, possibly even thousands of requests for these from individual service members, from commanding officers of units, from chaplains of units, saying, hey, we're about to deploy to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to the Middle East, to wherever, and we've got 500 guys or I've got 1,000 people in my unit. And, you know, as Kenny loves to tell the story, they would always ask, you know, how much would it cost for me to get, a bunch of these for our guys? And Kenny would say, well, how many are we talking? And they'd say, I've got 500 people in my unit. And he'd say, you can get 500 and it won't cost you anything.
Yeah.
You know, as many as you need is as many as you can get, and I'll just donate them.
And so the branches of the military said, though, you got to stop using the logos. We're going to stop you from making the ones, which are what the people requesting them really wanted. They wanted to see their occupation connected with their faith, right?
Yeah, and it's important. I mean, we need to back up a little bit because the timeline is really important here.
Yeah.
Let's start in the early 2000s, right, after 9/11. The Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, which was our campaign in Afghanistan, they had just begun, and we started to send troops over to Iraq and Afghanistan in large numbers. And this is around the time when Kenny wanted to show his support. Kenny's a very patriotic. If you've met Kenny, you've met him. You know how patriotic he is. He loves our country. He loves our military. He began providing these, again, often at the request of the military itself. And they loved him. And they brought them to the Pentagon. They had photo ops and everything. There were articles in military papers talking about what a great thing this was for our troops.
They sold them at the PX.
They sold them on base in the exchange at the commissary. Yeah. President Bush himself talked about Shields of Strength from the Rose Garden during a Memorial Day ceremony. All right. So that just sort of sets the stage for we're talking about a lot of goodwill between the Pentagon and Shields of Strength. And this went on for years.
Until suddenly, one complaint showed up.
The chapter turns the plot turns when Mikey Weinstein and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which is a misnomer because they stand for anything but religious freedom, they filed a complaint and they had an article published in some sort of media outlet talking about the complaint that they had filed.
Yeah.
And the Pentagon turned right around and told Kenny in an email where the subject of the email was negative publicity or bad PR, something along those lines.
Yeah.
You have to stop. We can't allow you to do this anymore because of this complaint and this threat that somebody has made that they're going to sue us if we continue to allow you to do this. Now, here's the really important part, Stuart. When you own a trademark, all right, I don't want to get down into the weeds of intellectual property law, but when you own a trademark and you allow somebody to use your trademark, you can license it. That's what when we talk about having a license to do some to in this case use a trademark, then you basically have you have legal permission from the trademark owner to, in this case, make dog tags.
Anybody who's a sports fan at some time or other has got licensed merchandise.
We're here in Dallas, Texas. If I wanted to go out and buy a Dallas Cowboys baseball cap, all right, I guarantee you, if I flip that ball cap over and look inside, it's going to say this is a licensed product.
Right.
Right. And the NFL and the Dallas Cowboys own that trademark, and they give whoever's selling that to me permission to sell it. That's the license.
Yeah.
That's the license agreement. So that's what Kenny had. Shields of Strength had a license agreement with various branches of the military.
Which at the beginning they were very happy to give him. I mean, they were saying, here you go.
Oh,
please
yeah,
do.
Because they get royalty payments, right? I mean, the DOD was making money hand over foot off of this. And so they have this license agreement. They're happy to do that. They get a complaint and they say, you got to stop. And that's where things get interesting. Because Kenny says, well, wait a minute. I have a license agreement that says I'm allowed to do this.
Right.
And so for months, First Liberty and the Department of Defense, these trademark and licensing offices went back and forth to try to figure, okay, wait a minute. You've already given us, our client, legal permission to do this. And they're saying, well, we're threatening to revoke that legal permission because we have this policy that says you can't have anything religious on something that also has our, a trademark. So the dog tag right here would be one example, right?
Yeah.
It has Go Army, proud Marine Corps husband, proud Marine Corps wife,
right,
Air Force dad on it. And on the other side, it has a scripture verse. And the DOD knew that they had a problem on their hands legally because they've already granted legal permission to allow Shields of Strength to do this.
Yeah.
And so then they said, well, then when it comes time for you to renew the license, we're not going to allow you to do it. Because of course, every license agreement
has
an expiration, right?
Yeah.
It has a limited duration. And then when it comes time to renew, and they said, well, if you want to renew, we'll renew it on condition that you no longer allow to put those Bible verses on there that we've been letting you do for years.
Right.
So that's in a very, very important fact in that I think a lot of people miss, is that this is not somebody walking in on day one and saying, hey, I want to do this, even though I know you don't allow us to do this.
We're doing it in flouting the law. It's
right.
Not that. He had legal permission to do
He's had legal permission for years to do this. And not just legal permission, but again, this was an invitation to do it. This is a great thing. We love this.
You know, arms open wide.
Yeah. Arms open wide is a great way to put it.
Yeah. So what are we asking for? I mean, we didn't want to sue, because what Kenny is all about is, he and I just talked about, he wants to offer encouragement, inspiration, and comfort to the military, not sue them. What are we asking for?
Yeah, I mean, that's the heartbreaking thing about this, Stuart, is think about this. Kenny has now been forced into the position of having to sue the very entity that comprises the people that he loves most, that he wants to serve, that he wants to help, that he wants to support. But the bureaucrats in the Pentagon have left us with no choice. We tried to resolve this. We tried to work it out. And we're left with no choice but to file this lawsuit and to get a court, a judge, to say, you cannot discriminate against Shields of Strength, or really any other company for that matter. It could be anybody, but it just happens to be Kenny. You cannot discriminate against them and say, oh, we're happy to allow you to put anything you want on a dog. I mean, conceivably, you could put profanity on one of these replica dog
but
tags.
But not scripture.
But not a Bible verse. And again, we're talking about uplifting, encouraging Bible verses that, again, to remind everybody, this is what our troops want. This is what they request. So people always say, well, why couldn't you just make a generic dog tag that just had Go Army on one side and was blank on the other side? Why? Because nobody wants that. You know, I mean, you walk into the store.
Jewelry at that
At that point, it's just a trinket.
Yeah.
But when you put God's word on something and you give it to somebody who's in a position where their life is in danger, the lives of their buddies are in danger, and you're asking them to possibly sacrifice their life in defense of this nation, in defense of our freedoms, faith becomes very real at that moment. And I speak from personal experience there. Right?
I was going to ask you, because you served overseas, and I've heard your story. I'd like you to share just the short version of it. But your first night, mortar attack came in, right?
Yeah. I mean, so my background before coming to First Liberty, I was an active duty Marine officer. I deployed to Afghanistan in 2008. This was a time when things were the term we use in the military is kinetic.
Yeah.
It's sort of this wonderful military euphemism, kinetic, which just means hot and heavy, okay?
Crazy dangerous.
There were a lot of, there was a lot of lead being expended in Afghanistan at that time. And the very first night I was there, we took a mortar attack. And I wasn't, we weren't staying in bunkers or reinforced structures or anything. We were staying in what's called a GP tent, a general purpose tent. So this was just a canvas tent. And I'm thinking, this tent's not going to do me a whole lot of good against mortars. And I was the new guy there, right? Some of my buddies had been there for several weeks, so they'd already been grown accustomed to. That's the kind of, again, one of the weird things in the military is, after your first mortar attack, it's sort of like, oh, it's just a mortar attack, right? But your first one, it will shoot you straight out of bed, and I mean, your eyes are wide open, your adrenaline is pumping, and I needed a way to calm down, and to really, because as an officer, I mean, I'm trying to be a professional, I'm trying to show military bearing and poise and decorum, so I needed a way to calm myself down, to really settle my senses, and I did the only thing that I knew to do, which was I grabbed my Bible, and I didn't even know where to turn in the Bible, Stuart, and I flipped to, and just happened to be sticking there out of the Bible was a bookmark. This is a bookmark that a friend's mom had given me when I was in high school. So this was tattered and torn and wrinkled up and everything, but it was still, I could still read it. So I pull out this bookmark, and written on it is the 91st Psalm, and just reading God's word just having that scripture there, it calmed me down. And what, and so people think, well, what's the big deal? Okay, it's just a couple of words on a bookmark. But when it's, when you're a person of faith and you read Holy Scripture, it has this supernatural ability to allow you to focus and do your job and accomplish your mission, when otherwise the adrenaline would have been flowing so much. I mean, if you've ever been in a situation where, you know, if you've been in a car accident or something like that, the adrenaline is coursing through you so much that you really can't. You know, you can't even do things like, you know, make a phone call or what, because it's just...
It's terrifying.
You're terrified. You're almost in a form of shock. And just reading the scripture and God's word, it calmed me down. So again, not to go off on this long tangent, but
you really
made
the point.
So I understand this is what is at stake here, is the ability for our troops to have that. Because I know they're going in harm's way every single day, right? They're placing their lives on the line. And to have such a small token of faith that they wear around their neck. I'm wearing one right now, okay?
Yeah.
And just to have that, it's a source of comfort. It's a source of hope, of motivation, of encouragement. I mean, how many times have we seen in a Hollywood movie, you know, Band of Brothers, Saving Private Ryan, whatever, right before they get ready to go into a firefight, you see them, they kiss it.
Yeah.
And it's not a merely symbolic gesture. I mean, there's real power in that.
And what I was going to interject there was, if that bookmark had just had a picture of a puppy on it, not going to have the same impact. I mean, you're not going to get the same consolation out of that taking in the Word of God has on the heart. I mean, it really does make a difference. That's something Kenny and I talked about just minutes ago, was how much that has an impact on someone's life when you take God's Word and plant it in your heart.
Yeah, so let's put this in the context of this lawsuit, right? Yes, the lawsuit is about trademark regulations, Department of Defense policies and procedures, blah, 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 et cetera, right?
What's it really all
but
about?
But it's really about whether or not we are going to allow a small family-owned company out of Beaumont, Texas, to be able to continue, as they've done for decades, to provide a source of hope, inspiration, and encouragement to our troops who are begging for it. And I want to make this point especially, because I mean, I've known Kenny for years now, and I know that tears fill his eyes. And Kenny's kind of a man's man, right? He's kind of a, you know, so he probably wouldn't like me saying this, but I've seen tears fill in his eyes when he tells me, Mike, I got a request from a chaplain. They're about to deploy, and he asked me for a custom order of these, but because of what the Pentagon has now said to me, they sent me that cease and desist letter, right? So this was in response to the complaint. They said, Kenny, you can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You're no longer allowed to provide these. And Kenny says, I have to tell them no. It's the first time in my life I've had to tell them no. I can't do this for you. I can't give these to you. I'm not allowed to. I want to. I want to provide these to you. I know how much they mean to you and to the troops, but I'm not allowed to right now because I don't want to break the law or violate any rules. And so that's what's really at the heart of this lawsuit, is a small family-owned business, the heart of a patriot, the heart of an American who loves this country and loves our military and wants to support them and is not allowed to do so because of bureaucrats in the Pentagon who are afraid of a little bad publicity.
Very good. Mike, I appreciate all your insights today. Very helpful to explain what the case is about and what's next. But real briefly, before we wrap up, what happens next now that we filed suit?
Well, so we filed the lawsuit. Obviously, the other side gets a chance to respond.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for the Pentagon, for the Biden administration to tell us what their response is. I mean, who knows? We could receive a miracle and they could say, you know what?
Never mind.
Yeah. This is, you know, we were afraid of bad publicity. Boy, now we're really getting some bad publicity. Let's come to the table and work this out.
Yeah.
That would be a miracle, but it could happen. So if you believe in the power of prayer, boy, we, you know, pray for something like that to happen. But if that doesn't happen, we're going to walk into court and we're going to make the best argument we can. And guess what? At First Liberty Institute, we have a pretty good track record of doing that and winning.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing how this goes. Mike, thanks again. Hey, we are able to represent people like Kenny Vaughn because of the support of people just like you. And it's important to note this. Kenny will never get a bill from First Liberty because none of our clients do. That's how we operate. We're a nonprofit, and we're able to do that because of the generous support of people like you to whom these issues matter, and especially people who would like to see changes in the real world and victories won, because that's what we do here. So if you'd like to be a part of that, just look for the big red give button on our website. Your gift makes a real difference in the real world. Hey, we will see you next time right here on First Liberty Live.